the talent. And you're glad that they're willing to use that talent in the Lord's service. They have good bosses. They know how to sing. They know how to keep the tune. And I appreciate the ladies that have been singing their specials here every service. Every service of this series of services. And very fine, very beautiful. They have added to the interest and the spirituality of the services from time to time. Thank you, ladies. And that young man, I think he's from Glasgow. That young man who was here last night sang some beautiful solos. He has a fine voice. And so the services have been very fine indeed because of the specials sung here from service to service. I want to thank you especially for that. I met you through it earlier, last night, the night before. I never could think of it. Always having a mind on something else. Coaches, you know, are interested in themselves, and so when they get up to the pulpit, they usually say, I, and people don't like to hear I. Therefore, the other word of God. Happy that you're here today. We're glad you booked the Sunday School attendance record. We have 97. That speaks well for somebody that's doing some business, getting out and knocking on doors, and doing things of that kind, getting acquainted with strangers. And that's one of the qualifications that Paul said a preacher ought to have, fond of strangers. And that's one qualification I don't have, though, and I'll tell you, it's hard for me to be fond of strangers, especially some that live next to my house. Always trying to break out my windows or something of that kind. But Paul said, be fond of strangers. Get acquainted with them and do your best to lead them to Christ. That's what the said good. I've enjoyed dealing with you people. I appreciate your confidence in me. I appreciate you inviting me for this series of services this week. It's been very fine indeed. Now I want to call attention to one fine lady in this congregation today, and that's Sister Dakota. Would you stand up, Sister Dakota, with this congregation see you? She is a fine friend of mine, and long ago, I remember her being in the classroom at CMDI in Bellflower. And you know that lady could soak up wheat as a sponge soaks up water. I mean, just like a whale, gobbling up little minnows, you know, a little fish. You ever see a whale do that? Well, he's bored by the tons. They can do that. You watch a whale sometime. Go down to marine land and watch them gobble up those little fish. Man, they go in their mouths just by a stream. That's the way she got through several years ago. One of the smartest students I ever had. Another smart student I had was your pastor. I couldn't feed great fast enough to him. He swallowed the stuff so fast. I'm proud of him as a student, as a pastor, as a leader, as a soul winner, and I'm glad you have him here as a pastor. He's got a fine wife. Where is she? She run off to me. Well, there she is. He's got a fine wife, and he's the only man I know who has his wife under control. I say that guardedly now. Oh, I'd rather have a drink occasionally, Brian. They might not feed me a lunch for at 1 o'clock, but anyway, we're having fun now. It's a good fine Sunday school lesson. Fine Sunday school lesson. We all enjoy it. And we're all Baptists and proud of it. Leaders of the truth, lovers of the truth. And I will not hold you beyond 12 o'clock today. I have about 35 minutes and I'll turn you loose. I'm not going to preach an hour and 10 minutes this morning. These little boys are looking at me here and they say, hurry up, preacher, and get through. I'm going to go home. I'm hungry. I'm hungry, Dad. I know how boys are. I used to be a boy myself. And I actually was there asking this morning. Let's go right into the ninth chapter of the book of Revelation. The ninth chapter of the book of Revelation and verse number 1. And we shall continue the lesson that we started last Thursday night. Ninth chapter of Revelation and verse number 1. And if these boys, that little fellow with his Bible, I'm glad he does, so open over and over here. You've got these little fellows have their Bibles, their brother Cervantes helped them find the ninth chapter of Revelation, verse number 1. I like for these little fellows to keep up with me. Let's
Christian scholar. That's what you call a fine scripture week. Now, like little boys and girls, I just say. All right, that's fine. We're glad you have a whole buckload of them around here. That's fine. Revelation 9 and verse number 1. When we all have found the place where we'll start reading. Now, this is not in the middle of that great tribulation period, but it's almost in the middle. The first verse of the 9th chapter of Revelation says, and the fifth angel sounded. Now, that means the fifth angel blew his trumpet. Blew his bugle. And a bugle produces very beautiful music, Freddy, when you're playing in My Country Tis of Thee, or you're playing Outside the Foundation, or Amazing Grace, or something of that kind. It's very beautiful music. But anyway, this fifth angel blew his trumpet, and John says, I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of a bottomless pit. Now, that means a great big hole that you don't have a bottom in. You can't find the bottom. You know, there are some swimming holes that have no bottom. You dive and you dive, just keep going, going, going. Way on down, just keep going. No bottom. You get on there, open your eyes, and it's very dark. Very dark, and the water's cold. Yeah, no bottom. Bottomless pit. Now, that's what this is talking about. This is talking about a pit. A hole that has no bottom to it. You know, if man's willing and swimming, he likes to get the bottom of the cave. It's a little safer, you know. Now, bottomless pit, the key of the bottomless pit. Now, if I drive Brother Bill's car, I've got to have the key to that car. He has to turn it over to me. I can't drive his car without a key. I couldn't even get inside without the key. Yeah, a key means authority. There are gentlemen, there are brethren who have keys to this church doors here, and they can get inside whenever they please. But you and I couldn't do that because we don't have a key. They have authority. We don't have authority. A key means authority. And here is an angel, a star, that has authority over this bottomless pit. He can open it up. He has a key. All right? Let's go to verse 2. And he opened the bottomless pit with this key that he had in his hand. He opened this bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. Now, a furnace can produce a great smoke. You heard him saw that fire the other night over here in the mountains, and it looked as if the whole mountain was burning. Well, we couldn't see the smoke, of course, being dark, but we're sure that fire produced a lot of smoke. Fires usually do. And wherever you find smoke, there's bound to be fire of some kind. It may not be a blaze. It could be just smoldering embers. But wherever you find smoke, you're bound to find some kind of fire. There rose the smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of the great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Now this pit, of course, represents hell, and it is hell, really. Because hell has fire in it, and hell has smoke in it. That's what he's talking about here. And there's something coming out of this in a minute. Now look at verse number 3. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. Now, I remember when I was a boy, about the age and size of these right here, we fellows would go out and down an old barn or an old building. An old building. I mean, nobody lived there. Had a lot of trash and rubbish and debris and litter on the inside of it. And we'd turn over sticks and splinters and scantlings, and we looked for scorpions. And usually we could find some, too. And when we got close to a scorpion, we'd give him, we stayed away from him. We'd reach out and over a long stick and we'd peck him on the head and kill him. Yeah, we like to hunt scorpions. That's that. We didn't get close to those rascals. We knew what they'd do to us. You know, they'd turn up that little tail and they'd make a dive for it. Okay, that's when we gave them a whack. You know, mankind has two great enemies. And one of them is the snake, and the other is the scorpion. Now, Now, we just, but the other night, I dreamed that you brought a snake into your home, and this snake was in a box. And all I could see was just this egg-shaped head in this box. And I said, "Well, Jim, what are you bringing that thing in here for?" He said, "That's my pet." That's the craziest dream I ever had. The very idea of making a snake a pet. You can't do that. Nobody can do that except in a dream. Well, the two great enemies of mankind are the snake and the scorpion. Horses are not our enemies, or cows, or dogs, or cats. We can make pets of them. But you couldn't pet a snake, you couldn't pet a scorpion. No, little balls will bring in certain little animals that crawl around. They bring those things in the front room, maybe in a fruit jar. But they never bring in scorpions. No, sir, they let the scorpions alone. All right, now let's keep reading, fellas. Verse number 4. "And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads." Now, these men that do not have the seal of God in their foreheads are lost men. Now, that's what that means. They're lost. They don't have Christ as a personal Savior. They've never trusted Him. Therefore, they don't have the seal of God in their foreheads. All right? "And to them it was given that they should not kill them." Not kill these men that don't have this mark on the forehead. Don't kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. I used to have a good friend in Piney Ridge, Arkansas, that got up one morning, one summer morning, to go to work. He put his shirt on. And on the inside of that shirt, there was a scorpion. And he was buttoning this shirt in front when this scorpion began to sting him. And before he could get that shirt off, the scorpion had stung him 5 times. And it stung him in this way, First Pastor. Right here, right here, right here, right here, and right here. Now it went in a circle like that, 5 times. He had to rip that shirt off. Boy, he ripped it off. And he reached back there and got that thing and threw it on the floor and stomped it. I mean, he stomped it in the mush. But he didn't have to go to the hospital, but I mean, it made him sick. He couldn't go to work that day. Not that day. His wife wrote him sales and ornaments and liniments and did everything she could for him. Boy, he was sick. He was a sick man that day and the next day. Because the sting of a scorpion. How many in this audience have been stung by a scorpion? The other two back there. Any more? A scorpion, the sting of a scorpion is not like that of a spider or a bee or a bumblebee or something like that. It's worse, and they can tell you so. It is worse. It takes a longer time to get over that sting. Now, that's what this chapter is talking about, brethren, right here. Except these are supernatural beings that come out of this bottomless pit. They're just not ordinary scorpions, brethren. Not ordinary locusts. These are what we call demonic. They're demons. Demon locusts. Demon scorpions. That are supernatural. Not natural. They're supernatural, brethren. Now that's what this is talking about. And they are to torment men for 5 months. Men who do not have the seal of God in their hearts. Well, they will hit hard and they're going to hurt. Men are going to scream and they're going to groan and women will too. They're going to attack both sexes that do not have the seal of God in their hearts. They're not saved. They're lost. And this is God's method of punishing them in the tribulation period. And we don't have anything like that in this church age, brethren. Nothing like that in this church age. Because these locusts had a king over there. And locusts today don't have a king. I mean, you can see 10 million locusts flying around here. The Bible wouldn't have that many in Bakersfield or not, but sometimes we see them in the Antelope Valley. You don't see any king leading those locusts. They don't have a king. They don't know what a king is. They just devour crops as fast as they possibly can. But these locusts are supernatural. They came out of the bottomless pit of hell. And they're demonic. I mean, they're demons. They're demons that have been locked up in that bottomless pit for centuries and centuries. And now God, in the great tribulation period, let them out to torment human beings. Not kill human beings, but torment them like the sting of a scorpion. Well, I don't even like the looks of a scorpion. You don't either. They're ugly. They look ugly. And that little old stinger on the end of that tail looks worse than a rattlesnake. Let's keep reading, my fella. And in those days, let's get number six, verse number six. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, shall desire to die. Death shall flee from them. That's in verse number six, 9 and number 6. Now, I want to, let's check that right here. Let's check that a little more closely. Chapter 9 and verse number 6. Yeah, in those days the human being shall seek the death. And not, it has two knots here, brethren, in the Greek text. Not shall they find him. You know, friends, it's mighty easy to find death in this church age. You don't have to walk out of this church house to find death. All you have to do is just get a pocket knife out of your pocket and open it up and do a little slitting right here and you're soon gone. Yeah. Or you can take a bullet. It doesn't take a bullet from a .45 pistol. Just take a small gun, a small pistol, stick it right there between your eyes and you're soon gone. Death is easily found in this church age. And the morticians and the mortuaries always have somebody's body in them. They all find. Lancaster, Bakersfield, anywhere else in this country, you can find mortuaries with dead bodies in them being prepared for burial because death is so easily found in this church age. But here's the time, my friends, and this is not the church age, as your pastor so well brought out this morning in the Sunday school class. This is not the church age. This is a different age when men will do their utmost to find death, to get rid of the scorpions and the sting and the agony, the torment, the suffering that goes with those scorpions. How will the die? I've got to die. And they can't find it. You cannot find death. Won't that be a period? What a period. That would be a time in this world's history. Trying to die and can't. What a time, brother. It's hard to imagine. Death is so easily and quickly found in this age. And yet those men can't find death. Now let's read that again. You know, it means something, young people. It means something. You and I, let's say, people won't be in that age. No, we won't. And in those days, they shall seek, and it means they keep on seeking the men. The men keep on seeking the death, and not shall find him. And they shall lust. They shall lust to die. And the death flees away from them. Flees away from them. That's right, he flees. He doesn't walk. He doesn't jog. He flees. He gets up and flies away from them. They're trying to get to him. They want to die. The death just leaves. Well, he gets away fast. He moves out in a hurry. That's what it says. He just moves in a hurry and they can't die. God says you're going to be tormented for 5 months, no matter how hard you seek death. And I know some husband will say to his wife, get that rifle, wife, get that rifle. It's loaded. Get it. And some man will say, okay, I'll just walk off of this 10-story building and I'll fall down to the concrete and I'll end this mission. You can't do it. There's a supernatural power there that prevents that man from walking off of that 10-story window. Yes, sir. There's a supernatural power that keeps that wife away from that rifle so that she will not kill her husband. There's a supernatural power exercised there, brethren, to keep death away from men for 5 months. And that's God's power, brethren. God's power. And think about a delicate and beautiful woman with those scorpions crawling all over her body, inside and out of her clothes. And they're stinging. They're stinging. And she tries to get away. She screams. Oh, she screams at the top of her voice. Not only one woman, but by the millions screaming. And can't get away from the stings and the agony of those scorpion-like creatures. Men doing the same thing. This whole human race that doesn't do not have the seal of God in their foreheads, and there will be millions of them, brethren, millions of them. They will be suffering and suffering and suffering and wanting to get away, wanting to die, and they cannot. Supernaturalism, brethren, supernaturalism in the Bible, in this last chapter of Revelation. Now let's keep going. Let's keep going, brethren. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. Now you and I are not acquainted with that figure of speech. A horse prepared unto battle, in the first place, according to history now, brethren, they get out and run those horses and strengthen their muscles, you know, tone them up, kind of like a man getting ready for the Olympics in Moscow. He trains for months and months, getting ready to compete with the others in those Moscow games. He hardens his muscles, and that's what they did to those little horses in the days of the Hebrews and the Persians and the Romans and the Greeks and the Babylonians. They would run those horses a certain distance every day to harden their muscles, those little horses. And then they would put an armor on the chest of those horses and put a certain kind of bridle on, and that armor would extend over the hips of the horses, getting those horses ready to receive the arrows and the spears of the battle, so that those horses wouldn't go down in death. All right, now that's what this says. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared in the battle. You and I have never seen any locusts like that in this church age. No, locusts are not that way in this church age. You can step on one and crush it. You can't step on these and crush them. All right. And all their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold. Nobody ever saw a locust like that in this church age. They don't wear crowns like gold now. And their faces were as the faces of men, human beings. Every human being in this world has a face. I've heard of only one man in America that didn't have a face. In World War Number Two, the Germans shot his face off, Brother Pastor. That's a fact. He lost his mouth, his nose, his eyes, and part of his forehead. He was a faceless man. And he went to a hospital in the state of Ohio, the capital of Ohio. What's the name of that town? Capital of Ohio. Anybody here remember the name of that city? That's where he went to the hospital to have a brand new face put on the front of his head. Of course, they couldn't put eyes on him. He was blind. But they put on an artificial nose and artificial lips. A faceless man. Who ever heard of? Well, these creatures right here have faces like the faces of men. Every human being has a face. Why, how odd we would look if we didn't have a face. Some guys would be supposed like me. You're kind of ugly anyway. But anyway, everybody's got a face. That's the point. All right, now let's keep going, brother. And let's see now. And they had hair as the hair of women. Now, ladies, I'm not making fun of anybody, but you know there's no other creature under the shining sun that has hair like the hair of a woman. No other creature under the shining sun. The mane of a horse is not like the hair of a woman. A cow's hair is not like that of a woman. A man's hair is not like that of a woman's hair. You better know that. No other hair under God's heaven is like that of a woman's hair. I mean, it's a special kind. She was a special creature coming from the side of man to perform her duty in this life. I'm not making fun of anybody. It's just truth, brethren. It's just truth. And so these creatures, these locusts, had hair like the hair of been wrong, Brother Bill. Men have short hair. Well, I know some have long. Some men have long hair. I don't see a long-haired man in this house. Brother Pastor, do you have all the men in this church? No, no, I see two fellows back there that have long hair. That's all right. That's all right. Don't know where they have long. That's fine. That's fine. That's all right. But these locusts now have hair like the hair of women. And now let's keep going. Let's keep going now. And their teeth were as the teeth of lions. The teeth of lions, Freddie. Hey, you boys, right here on this front seat. Did you ever look into the mouth of a lion? Come on, my fellow, be honest. Have you seen a lion? You haven't seen a lion? Oh, geez, this one. Somebody, please, get him to the booth. Somebody. Hey, young man, you right here, have you looked into the mouth of a lion? Young Connor, have you looked into the mouth of a lion, young man?
No, you can't learn to see
a
mouth.
Oh, you haven't seen a mouth. I'll tell you, the first chance you get to see a lion yawning, you know, these lions will yawn like a house cat. They'll open up those big mouths, and you can see their teeth. And then the back side, they have those cutting teeth. Yeah, flat, you know, flat. And in the front, they have these big fangs. Oh, they stick down about that long, male lion, about that long, big fangs, so that they can rip and tear and cut. Uh-huh. And that's what this is talking about, young people. Their teeth were as the teeth of lions. Not like a cow or a horse. Well, no, a cow or a horse has different set of teeth from a lion. Right. Uh-huh. They were the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates. As the breastplates of iron. The breastplate now that went on the chest, started down here at the chin and went on down to the belt. That was the chest plate. And that's what these creatures had, chest plates. With chest plates of iron. And the sound of their wings as the sound of the chariots of many horses running to battle. Now, brother, you and I in this 20th century never have seen anything like that or heard anything like that. We're accustomed to army tanks. Oh, yeah. And machine guns. And war equipment of that kind. But back in the day of the John on the Isle of Patmos, he said, yeah, you know what these horses are running to battle? Clattering, pounding the ground, roaring like thunder, millions of horses carrying millions of men in the battle. Well, that's the way these things were. And they had tails like the scorpions. And there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. Now, this is actually going to happen, my friends. This is not a fairy story. Let's take this literally, as I said last night. These scorpions will certainly sting men and women, boys and girls. And I don't know if they'll sting babies, Brother Pastor. I don't think they'll sting little babies in that period. But they will get men and women, boys and girls, who have not the seal of God in their heart. They've never been saved. Therefore, God is punishing them as he has punished no other human beings on the face of the earth. And verse number 11 says, and they had a king over them, a king over these scorpion-like creatures, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, and but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. That just simply means destroyer. They are able to destroy. That's what that's talking about, to destroy. Now he says, one woe is past, behold, there come two woes more hereafter. And now that's what will happen, my friends, under the sounding of the bugle of the fifth trumpet. Now then, let's go to verse number 14. And the sixth angel blew his trumpet, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is the word of God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. My friends, there are about 60 American men and women that are bound today in Tehran, Iran, right close to the Euphrates River. You know that? We all know that. I'm not telling you anything new. They've been there a long, long time. Now, there was a young man let out of there recently because of a disease he had in his body. The Euphrates River partially flows through the country of Iran. I mean, modern Iran. It's 5,800 miles long, and it empties into the Persian Gulf. And these four angels now were loose. It says here in this 14th verse, loose the four angels which are found in or on the great river Euphrates. That is one river that's located from Genesis to Revelation. Runs all the way through the Bible, brother. And the four angels were loose, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. Now these scorpion-like creatures in the first part of chapter 9 were not allowed to kill men, just torment them. All right, we're coming up to something now. These four angels that are going to slay a third part of human beings that are left since chapter 6 in the book of Revelation. All right, now look at verse 16. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000, and I heard the number of them. Now somebody in this audience, please tell me how many 200,000 of. Would you please tell me? Big pardon? 2 million? 200 million, thank you. Thank you, that's fine. 200 million men, all right? And an army of the horsemen were 200 million, and I heard the number of them, and thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, and of jacinth, and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire, and smoke, and brimstone. Hey, you young fellow, you know what brimstone is? What's brimstone? You go out of Bakersfield toward the north, toward Fresno, and you'll find a plant there that builds creates brimstone. Yeah, brimstone. It's this yellow stuff. It's right there on the side of the 99 Highway as you go north out of Bakersfield. You boys know what that is? Huh? Don't get acquainted with that stuff because it's mighty hot when you set it on fire. Boy, it'll burn and burn down to the bone. Yes, and then burn up the bone if it keeps burning because that's sulfur. Out of the mouths of these creatures issue sulfur. Fire. That's what this means. That's what this is talking about. And look here in verse 18. By these three was the third part of men killed by the fire and by the smoke and by the sulfur which issued out of their mouths, and their powers in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, neither can see nor hear nor walk, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Now somebody says, preacher, why is God so mean and so wicked as to kill so many human beings in this period? The only answer I know to that question is, Brennan, that God is getting ready, or he's going to wipe out the human race in the tribulation period, except one-third of the Jews and one-sixth of the Gentiles. Now, I told you the other night that according to U.S. News and World Report, there are 4 billion human beings on the face of this earth today. 4 billion. I didn't say that. That's U.S. News and World Report. I don't know how they got that number. I don't know how they reached it. Now, according to the 1980 census, I wonder how many people we'll have in this country. That they haven't given us a definite number yet, and we're all eager to find out just how many people we have in America. Do we have 225 million? 230 million? You know, a lot of Cubans have come to Florida. A lot of people from Mexico have come up here from Mexico. We've got them coming in from China, Japan, Canada. Boy, they love this country. Russia? Yeah. Those guys are trying to get out of slavery and oppression, getting away from those wicked dictators. Well, we sympathize with them. They want the freedom and the money that we love. All right. 4 billion people on the face of this earth. If you know that God is going to wipe out all of them in the tribulation period, except one-third of the Jews and one-sixth of the Gentiles. And that means that he will be killing them by the billions, brother. By the billions. That's going to be a terrible time, brethren. Blood, 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 corpses, corpses, corpses. Somebody says, God is Pharaoh's a mean God. No, he's not a mean God. God is just getting justice. He has waited and waited and waited and waited for century after century for men to repent. And they won't repent. They just will not listen to his call, to his mercy, to his love. And now he has been outraged and angered because men won't repent. And so he says, all right, this is the day of vengeance. You're going to pay. You're going to pay. And in the tribulation battle, in the Armageddon battle, my brethren, so many people will be killed, and I won't have time to get to that. And you know how deep the blood will run in the land of Palestine after that battle of Armageddon. God is a God of vengeance, not only a God of love. You know, the social gospel preachers say that God is a God of love. Oh, he loves every one of us. He loves white, black, yellow, red, and every other color under the sun. We're serving a God of love. Well, they forget that God is a God of vengeance also, that God can kill and destroy, as well as save. They have forgotten that part of God's nature. That's the reason that he killed the third part of the human race in this ninth chapter of Revelation, because they will not repent. 21st verse says, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. They just would not repent. They didn't do it in the days of Noah. They didn't do it in the days of Lot, so God wiped them out. And so in the tribulation period, he's going to wipe them out, brethren. And with that third of the Jews and with that sixth of the Gentiles, he will repeople the earth for the millennial reign of Christ on the earth for 1,000 years. Brethren, you've been very patient, very kind. I want us to have a song, Brother Pastor, with song leader, with piano player. I want us to have a song this time. I'm not going any further. We'll start this 10th chapter some other time. There might be somebody here today who is lost, in need of a Savior. And if this tribulation period occurs now, you will be caught. You will be caught without the seal of God in your heart, and you will be tormented for 5 months with this awful starting. Let's pass 183. Every same, 183. Let's pass through. I want you to take charge, please. If you're lost today, won't you come and give your heart to Jesus Christ? Shake hands with Brother Philip. Preacher, I want you to pray for me. Pray that I'll be saved, that I'll come to Jesus Christ in this service today before it closes.
Thank you. about a couple of stuff. Hubbard, I want you to go back with me today. And I know that you're on the place, and if you'd like to give me an extra offering or something, get some money to see me, and see if we can discuss it, okay? If you'd like to give me a, I know that he is worth way more than what he's paying anyway.